I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts. In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you. This morning we are coming to you from Biograss, and that means we have Aidan Duffin with us. Hayden Duffin with us as well to take your questions this morning. We are going to start the morning, though, and Ton, you said plant of the week. We're going to be talking about Burgundy Bunny Fountain Grass. I'm always excited to hear about a purple fountain grass that's a perennial.
It is.
I love purple fountain grass.
And purple fountain grass is more of a tropical species. We grow it as an annual here. You know, it gets very beautiful, especially late summer. It's 2 or 3 feet tall and just those beautiful seed plumes. Well, there's a relative of purple fountain grass that is cold hardy down to zone 4 or 5, depending on the particular cultivar. But most of the grasses in the perennial fountain grass are green. There's a few coming out that have kind of a pink-tinted plume.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a newer introduction called Burgundy Bunny that only gets about a foot to 18 inches high and wide. So it's great for rock gardens, flower beds, if you wanted to do even a little bit of an edge or something with it, it'd work well. And what it does is during the summer, the new growth, the tips of the new growth are red. And they'll fade to a green, but in late summer and early fall, the grass turns burgundy red, just this really brilliant red, and it almost looks exactly like a little miniature red fountain grass, but it's perennial, and it's super hardy, and so it'd even survive our mountain valleys because it's a zone 4 grass.
I love that. Have you seen it anywhere in the nurseries? Is this pretty readily available?
It's newer, but several companies are selling it, and I have seen it. A local distributor called Perennial Favorites is growing it. Now, it doesn't mean that it's super widely available yet, but as you shop in the spring and as those grasses break dormancy and become sellable in the pot, it's one that you can find.
You mentioned this is good in rock beds. What kind of sun does it need?
Full sun. If it gets too much shade, it may green out a little bit. So about 6 hours of sun a day is what the requirement is for full sun plants.
What's the flower like on this one?
So it looks
you don't think about flowers on grasses,
yeah,
but they do have beautiful flowers.
Yeah, and it's the seed heads are what we're going for, and they look like a fountain grass seed head or flower head. And so they will rise up and plume out just like a fountain grass, except for they're just a smaller version.
Mm-hmm. Any special requirements when it comes to water, soil?
You know, once they're established, if they're watered once a week to a depth of 12 inches, they're perfectly happy. So they're
okay,
at least,
so pretty water-wise,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, at least moderately okay. Water-wise. So the fountain grasses don't tolerate sagebrush conditions, but they do really well, and especially if you're hydrozoning, which we'll talk a little bit about irrigation later in the show. But as long as you're hydrozoning, they actually can help conserve water because they will not need watered as often as the lawn, and you can water them on a gridded drip system or on a regular drip.
Any special requirements for soil?
No. They're adapted to our alkaline soils just so long as you don't drown them to death and don't, you know, we're not talking like desert dry conditions either,
mm-hmm.
but moderately drought hardy, but just average Utah soil and they're happy.
Right. And they don't take a long time to kind of get
no.
the roots established or anything like
no.
that.
No. There's a saying with perennials and some of the grasses that the first year they sleep and that's when you plant them. The second year they creep and then the third year they leap. So that's just another one of those silly sayings we have, like
But it's true.
But it's true. And so on that, especially after the first year, they're more established. And by their second or third year, they will really start to take off.
Okay. And I like the fact that this one's not as big as some of the other grasses.
No, and that's what I really like, because another really common cultivar called Ham Elm is one that gets about 2 feet, 2.5 feet. And then there's another one that you would assume is super small called Little Bunny. And that's another one that can get 2 to 2.5 feet. But this Burgundy Bunny is about half the size. And so if you've liked the fountain grasses, perennial fountain grasses, this is one that will stay smaller, that works well for smaller flower beds.
Right. Well, anyone who knows me or has listened to the show knows I love flowers. But I've really gotten into the last couple of years, of course, the succulents that I talk about all the time, just because of the variation in the plant types and how interesting they are to look at. But the same holds true with grasses. I've really gotten into the grasses, too, just because they just offer that little bit of extra variety in your flower beds.
They are really, the texture to your flower bed is so important. You know, I think one of the mistakes new gardeners make is there's flowers everywhere. And that's
that
a beautiful, that's
mm-hmm.
a beautiful thing to do. And, but there's so many things you can do with textures, you know, especially in shaded locations. But, you know, the Japanese, there's some grasses, shade tolerant Japanese sedges
mm-hmm.
that are variegated. And even in full sun, you know, a lot of the plants you use for the texture, the foliage and the color can just change things up so much. And especially if you can incorporate perennials that, you know, we've talked in the past about hummingbird mint that blooms from July to frost. You know, that would might be one you could mix in, or the perennial geraniums that bloom from May into almost July. So there's so many things you can do, and the annuals are so important. But if you mix perennials in, it just gives you a lot more variety and texture than you can get with annuals.
Right, especially when you get toward the end of summer, when your annuals are like, oh, it's too hot, I don't like it, and they're starting to dry up. You have all of these other things in the yard. You can start pulling some of the annuals out, and It really keeps the flower beds, keeps your gardens looking fresh and interesting.
It does.
All
and
season
so
long.
These grasses usually seed out by July into August. There are so many outstanding perennials that bloom from July to frost. You know, we've talked about hibiscus and the hummingbird mints, but that's about the time that the black-eyed Susans and the the purple coneflowers.
Right.
There's so many outstanding mid to late summer into fall bloomers that can help make up for those annuals getting tired.
Right. Those purple coneflowers, do they kind of last one or two seasons and then you have to replant them?
Totally depends on the cultivar. The one that's as common as mud but is solid is called Magnus. That one should last 4 or 5 years, maybe even 7 or 8 years. But there are some others that don't last as long. In the black-eyed Susans, there are many of them that are annual or biannual, but there is one called Goldsturm. It's oftentimes sold as Goldstorm. That one is a long-lived perennial, too.
Right. This morning, we are coming to you from Biograss, and we're talking about the big yellow bag. Hayden Duffin is with us. He's the customer service manager, and our listeners wait for this discount every year. We will get texts early in the season. When are you going to offer the discount on the big yellow bag? Well, today's the day.
Yes, today is the day, and today we are going to be offering you $25 off your first bag, usually $149, and additional bags are all going to be $35 off, I believe. So 20 off the first and 35 off any additional bag. So you can give us a call and either go online to bigyellowbag.com and use the code KSL2021 for that deal, or give us a call at 801-562-9090.
I like how easy you've made it for people. I know some people are still worried about going out in the pandemic, but you've really made it easy for them to order and not have to come down to Biograss to get their big yellow bag.
Exactly, yes. And if you do come down, you don't have to come into our store. You can call us on the phone from the parking lot, and we will bring out seed, or we will bring a seed out to you if you'd like to, or just place an order online, or if you do want to come inside and talk to us, we're more than happy to do that as well.
Ton, you and I have talked about how much we like the big yellow bag because it is just so convenient.
Well, with modern laws and codes and regulations, there's a lot of communities that won't even allow compost to be dumped in the road anymore because it washes in the rain and it clogs up the drain systems and things, and there's just a lot of environmental contamination. Not that it's, you know, putting anything bad, but it just clogs things. And so the EPA has really been cracking down on it. The other advantage of these big yellow bags is that the bag, like we're supposed to get rain tonight into Sunday, maybe Monday, you can just seal the top and leave it in your driveway. And then when it dries out a little bit, get right back to it. And you don't have this big mess of wet compost that's maybe washed down the driveway. Sometimes the compost can temporarily do some staining. And so to have it in this big yellow bag is just so convenient.
Right. And for me, Hayden, I'm just so busy that I'm kind of pokey at getting the compost out in my garden. So it makes it convenient because it might sit there for, you know, 6, 7, or 8 weeks sometimes.
Exactly, yeah, and that's what our customers love is the convenience for it. Some people don't bring their bags back till the end of the season. They just leave it kind of in a tucked away space where they put their X, and, you know, they kind of dig into it whenever they feel like they need to add a pot to their garden, or whenever they want to freshen something up or plant something new, and they just always have it at their disposal.
And it's not just black garden soil, which is the favorite, of course. You can get other things in the big yellow bag.
Correct. Yes, additional to our black garden soil, we have a premium topsoil that is a mixture of topsoil, sand, and some organic matter, for ideal for planting in or using as a base for, you know, putting sod down. And then we also have two wood chip mixes. That one is a natural forest, so it's basically ponderosa pine and Douglas fir, and then we have a chocolate bark if you're looking for something a little bit darker for your flower beds.
All right, and the way to get that discount is to go to bigyellowbag.com. You can input KSL 2021 for that discount. Pretty easy to order.
You got it. And go get it today for that 20 off and 35 off additional bags.
All right. And again, you're listening to the KSL Greenhouse. We want to hear from you this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you this morning, along with Hayden. And we are out at Biograss this morning, where you can get your discount today on the big yellow bag. And let's get right to our listeners this morning. Let's see. The first one is asking if they use Grubex now. Is it a good time to put it down, Ton? Is there another brand? I mean,
there's several brands. Grubex actually can go down now. The active ingredient in it takes a little longer to work its way to the soil, but it lasts the entire summer. So Grubex, Scott's Grubex can go down now. If you're using a Bayer or BioAdvanced or other products, then they should probably wait at least another 3 weeks before they put those down.
All right. They also have a borer in their lilac, and they want to know when they should take care of that.
It's probably ash lilac borer, and it doesn't really, there's not an insecticide that'll get it out. It's more preventative. And what I would recommend doing is using renewal pruning on the lilacs, where you're taking 20 to 25% of the branches out every year. And you're doing that toward the base of the shrub. And if you'll take those branches out, if you have a few of those ash lilac borer in the lilac, they're not going to be that damaging. It won't require an insecticide.
Okay, next listener has a 20-year-old flowering pear tree. They say this year about half of the tree either didn't flower or partially flowered. And they're wondering if they should be worried about that, if there's something they should be doing to keep it healthy.
Well, there's not really much they can do at this point besides be patient. There's a small chance that if it's all on one side of the tree, that those blossoms may have been knocked out by frost and wind.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a chance that if it's more sporadic in the tree, that the tree has fire blight. And if it is fire blight, the only way they can get it out is to prune it out. And then in the future, when the trees are in blossom, use a fire blight preventative. That this is the only time we recommend ever spraying blossoms. And it's with what's called an agricultural antibiotic that isn't harmful to bees. And it's a good way to help at least slow down fire blight and hopefully prevent it. But once it's in the tree, your only option is to prune it out.
Whoa. Okay. Next listener says they want a good columnar shade tree for high saline clay soil that won't be hard to clean up after. It can be tall.
Well, I think we're going back to the Taipan training silk fakey trees.
Because there's tree has got something to clean up?
Yeah, and that wish list, the saline soil is the fatal flaw in this wish list. And they're more going to be looking for something that will grow in saline soil at all.
Aww.
And so, you know, some things they could look at are maybe columnar hackberry. That's going to be one of the few junipers. There are many columnar junipers that are water-wise and wonderful. But people are, because of their overuse in the 70s, 60s, and 70s, junipers just kind of got a bad name. But they're wonderful water-wise plants. So the columnar junipers would be another one. And if it's
not too messy.
No. And if they're not too salty, then a columnar Austrian or columnar Bosnian pine would both be maybe options also.
Okay. They also say that the USU Master Gardener said that it's best for them to remove their lawn due to all the weeds. They think they have a lot of quack grass in there. They've heard it can come back after using Roundup, and they want to know what's the best way to remove it for good.
Well, keep using that quack grass. It's just the grass world's version of filled bindweed, but it's probably worse to get rid of.
Than bindweed?
So, yes.
I didn't think there was anything
and
worse.
And so you're going to have to spray it out and let it resprout a couple of times and just keep spraying, because with it, it's more of a war of attrition, because it has the ability, it has nodules in the roots that no glyphosate gets into,
mm-hmm.
and it resprouts from those nodules. And so you have to just keep after it. And after two or three sprayings, a series maybe every 3 to 4 weeks, you usually can go ahead and reseed. Now, if you see a little bit of it come back up through your lawn, you want to get on top of it before it takes over. And that's where you'd use what's called those wicking wands with the Roundup in it. So you let that quack grass grow, and it will grow faster than your lawn. And when it's 3 or 4 inches above the lawn, you use that wicking wand to rub the tops of the grass blades to kill it out,
mm-hmm.
to salvage the lawn.
I know my husband has just been tormented with one of, we have a rental unit, and he's been trying to kill the weeds out of there. We resodded, but then the tenant didn't run the sprinkler, and so the weeds all came back, and it's just been this constant battle with the weeds. And it's all about really maintaining your lawn properly to keep them out.
It is. And, you know, on this, especially this year, I don't know why, but there's been on extension social media, people are just getting sick and tired of pesticides. And I'm not promoting their use, but I think that limited use is safe. But they're absolutely right when they say a few dandelions are okay, but the best way to prevent weeds is to maintain healthy flower beds and healthy lawns.
Right. No doubt about it. Hayden, what do people ask you when they're talking about their grass? They're like, hey, I've got all these weeds in my grass. So what kinds of questions do you get from folks?
Well, it really depends. If they're talking about broadleaf weeds, or if they're talking about grasses, you know, pre-emergence are really good for some crabgrasses, or if they're really, you know, stuck with a lot of crabgrass, Ton was really right about spraying those weeds and then watering those areas that are already dead and then, you know, continually spraying them to make sure you don't have any problems. You know, we have a lot of customers who, you know, kill off their yards and then they put grass in and they don't realize that a lot of their areas, they haven't been, you know, they've been prepped, but they don't actually, you know, water that topsoil, and they don't realize how many dormant seeds are just hanging out there. So by the time they put their sod down and then, you know, they realize, oh, wow, all these weeds are coming up. Is it in the grass? And a lot of times you can lift that grass right up and see that a lot of those weeds came from the soil. So it's really important to, you know, when you're prepping your soil to actually water it and then kill those weeds before you put sod down, just because you have no idea what could blow in there before you actually put your sod in.
And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. And here is the Biograss Lawn Care Tip of the Week.
What's up, KSL Greenhouse listeners? Clark Bell of Biograss here with your lawn and garden tips for Saturday, April 24th. Right now is the ideal time to apply a pre-emergent herbicide with fertilizer, or for an organic option, corn gluten meal, to discourage all of the spring weeds. With Utah lawns coming out of winter dormancy and with our soils beginning to hit 55 degrees, our lawns and soils are beginning to wake up. Applying a pre-emergent herbicide or corn gluten meal will stop these weeds right in their tracks. Make sure to apply these materials when it's dry and cool outside. If your irrigation system is secondary water, you may need to apply another round of herbicide or corn gluten meal to combat any weeds that may be carried with your sprinklers. Having a healthy lawn consists of proper irrigation, mowing, fertilizing, and weed control. To get more lawn and garden tips and to view our award-winning products, visit biograss.com or come see us at 9980 South State Street in Sandy. Biograss is the science of great sod and soil.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.